All right, we'll say good evening. Good evening. Let us begin. So we're continuing Meretz Hashem, continuing in Hilchos Borer. So just to, I know it feels like a very long time since we've had our last shiur. But if you remember again, in our last shiur, so we focused on the concept of Borer, and specifically what we were really focusing on is the following idea. So remember again, the act of Borer itself is a prohibited malacha on Shabbos. And again, in order to be in violation of Borer, essentially, again, one has to go ahead and separate out Psolas from Ochel, right? The concept of Borer itself is I'm taking something prohibited and I'm separating it from a permitted item. That was the classic way that you did Borer. That's the wheat and the chaff. So what we've been speaking about is the concept that in order for something not to be considered Borer, you essentially have to essentially conform or to satisfy three criteria. And I put those on the sheet over here now. Ochel mitoch psolas. So number one, you have to be taking food from psolas. Now, we haven't actually defined what psolas is. I don't know that we'll get to that tonight. That may come a little bit more next week. But number one, you have to take out, it has to be ochel mitoch psolas, which means that when you have this mixture, in order to avoid any borer situation, you have to remove food from the impurity. So that's number one. Number two, I'm going to go out of order, biad. You have to do it with your hand and not with a specialized separating utensil. And miyad, the separation itself has to be done for immediate use. These are the criteria. These are the criteria, ultimately, again, in order to avoid any issue of borer. So remember again, in last week's shiur, so we focused on the last shiur that we had before Pesach. So we really focused on the concept of biyad, about what it means. Well, we spoke about borer in general, and then the concept ultimately of separating by hand, right? What's the definition of a hand? We saw a couple of different explanations of that. Rav Moshe, Big Machlokes, again, the definition of biyad. So now that we've done that, we're going to kind of move on a little bit and focus on miyad, the concept ultimately, again, of immediacy. So in order to avoid any type of borer situation, the separation has to be done for immediate use. Of course, the shaila is going to come up. What's the definition of immediate? So the Shulchan Aruch, I didn't put the Shulchan Aruch on the sheet because I'm just going to quote it to you. He says as follows. This is in Aruch Chaim, Simen Shin Yotas Sif Aleph. So he writes over here as follows. He says, V'imberer biyado kedei le'achol la'alter mutter. If you separate out, and again, remember, Bosai, this is always talking about separating out food, right? What you want, ochel, from psolas, and not psolas from ochel. So if you're separating out ochel from psolas, and you do so, la'alter, for immediate use, then it's mutter. So, Bosai, so now the Ramah comments, and he says, v'chomashe bor l'tzorech osasuda shemesiv ba miyad mikri la'alter. So we're going to get into this a little bit. Anything that you're separating for use in that current meal is considered to be immediate. Again, we'll define that in just a bit. So actually, it's a very important halacha that Rambam is pointing out of here, which we'll get into regarding guests. Like, when going ahead and doing an act of separating, how exact does one have to be in the act of separating? In other words, I'm preparing food and I am engaging in what could otherwise be looked at as an act of separating. Do I have to literally figure out, well, there's X number of people and this person is going to eat this and that person is going to eat that? Do we need that level of exactness or not? Emir Hashem will see. So the Mishnah Berurah comments on this, and the Mishnah Berurah says over here as follows. Actually, let me skip a little bit. Let me go to Halacha Beis. So actually, source number four on your sheet. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Haborer ochel mitoch psolas biyado, lahaniach la'anicho, afilu lebo bayom, na'ase kiborer la'otsar v'chayiv. So here the Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows. Shulchan Aruch says, if you go ahead and you do borer, and you separate out food from impurities, right? Ochel from psolas, and you do so, in order to help yourself, in order to separate something for use later on in the day, right? Even though it's for the same day, but I'm not using it, I'm going to use it later. That's na'asek yibar la'otzar v'chayiv. There's liability for that. So this is the concept, ultimately, again, of miyad. That when engaging in an act of separation, it has to be for immediate use. If it's for non-immediate use, even if it's for the same day, that is going to create a halachic problem. Now, of course, the question comes up is how do you define immediacy? Right? What does immediate mean? What does immediate mean? So take a look. So there's a number of different interpretations of this. If you take a look at number 5 on your sheet, so the Shmir Shabbos Kilchosa says, he gives a basic definition. And he explains, Vishamati, Me'agon Avshalom Zalman Arbach, Zatzal, De'afshar sha'af im hu yodea sha'orchem klal klal no yochlu min aperos, Me'chevon shu kolif es aperos, Tzorach ha'orchem kidei l'chad na'afshar. Okay, so this is actually not related to yet. So this is just a side point, which is actually interesting, which is, Avshalom Zalman says like this, let's say I'm doing an act of borer. I'm doing an act of separation because I have guests coming over, but I know that the guests aren't going to eat that which I am preparing. I don't know, you know, whatever you're making a particular dish, and I happen to know no one's going to eat it, but I want to put it out on the table and I want to serve it anyway. So Shlomo Zalman says, as long as it is for the purpose of the meal, then ultimately, again, not subject to the prohibition of borer. Okay, file that on the side. What we're going to focus on now is the question that I put on the sheet. So how long before the meal is considered miyad? Right? What is immediacy? So we'll say, and just understand, this question could have a variety of different implications, right? So I have a mixture. I need to sort something out of the mixture in order to prepare something for the meal. And again, I will say, it could be a mixture of silverware, right? It could be a mixture of dishes, or it could be a mixture of food items. And I need to pull out the item that I want in order to prepare for the meal. So now the halacha is, you could only do so if you're doing it immediately before the meal, la'altar, immediately. So now, of course, I'll say that now the shaila becomes, what is the definition of immediately? Let's take a look at number 6. The Sefer El Choshabis, he says as follows, Tshuva, ein sha'azu shal shir sha'. So it's interesting. So over here in the Sefer El Choshabis, he writes that this is not really like a quantifiable time. Right? I will say, like in halacha, we have zmanim, which are quantifiable, right? So again, you know, you could daven shachris after netzachama. You could daven mincha up until shkia. There are certain quantifiable, and that Sefer Choshabbos says that there are certain times in halacha that aren't really quantifiable. So it's not like the halacha is, you could do an act of separation for the purpose of meal preparation within 2 hours before the meal. He says rather, Ela hazman shederechu liisha zu shemisaderes haochlin lahasuda. So he says, rather again, so how much time are you allowed to, so how much time before the meal is considered to be miyad? It's subjective. It's the amount of time that you need before the meal in order to get ready for the meal. That's it. So we'll say, so now what's interesting, by the way, about this is that even for one person, right, the time frame could change dramatically. Right, I'm home on Shabbos just with my spouse, so miyad is going to look one way. I have my children home, miyad looks a different way. I'm having company, miyad looks a third way. So what Sefer L'chol Shabbos is introducing to us is that the concept of immediacy is absolutely relative. Immediate means within the amount of time before the meal that you need in order to go ahead and prepare for the meal. Yes? Oh, we're going to talk about that. Hold on. Excellent. Hold on to that for just a moment. Good. So I'll say that's Sefer L'chol Shabbos. Take a look at number 7. Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa. Imzos, Mutar Livror B'samoch Lifnei Asuda, Es Kala Kamos Hadrusha L'suda, Shu Omei L'aruch, O L'shimush Shu Omei L'asos B'davar HaMevurar. Kam Humeichen L'suda Gidola, Asher Timashek Kamashos. So here's what's interesting also. And we're going to get to this, that essentially he's really backing up this same idea, that miyad is subjective. And miyad means the amount of time you need before a meal in order to be able to prepare the meal, and it's for all parts of the meal. So let's say I'm serving a multi-course meal. I'm allowed to prepare for that, right, to prepare for that before the meal begins. I don't have to say, well, right now, I'll go out and I'll prepare the appetizer. And then later on, I'll prepare for the main. And then later, I'll prepare for the dessert. So rather, miyad means I am allowed to engage in whatever act of separation I need prior to the meal. Yes?
And does it also apply to things that aren't food?
Yeah. I mean, it applies to silverware dishes. It could apply absolutely to anything. Anything that's currently in a mixture that you need to sort the mixture in order to prepare for your meal. Absolutely. Take a look at number 8. He says, now hears, and this addresses Reb Steve's question. He says, "V'chi mistaber she'asa liver ala acharzman af she'osekein mishom shelotia lo efsharos liver samach usudaso." So Rabbi say, the issue over here now that the Mechaber brings up is the following. Miyat, however, could only mean before the meal. Immediately before the meal. In other words, so for example, let's say I want to go to shul and I want to prepare certain things before I go to shul so that when I get home, the meal is ready to go. Rosh Hashanah and Paskins, that's aser. That's not miyad. Now, I was saying that again, I just want to clarify. You understand, the issue over here is not preparation, right? The issue over here is, in order for me to prepare, I have to sort through some type of mixture. My cutlery is all mixed together. My dishes are all mixed together. I have different types of cloth napkins, and they're all mixed together. So I need to perform an act of sorting, right? And remember, on Shabbos, there is a way to perform an act of sorting in a permissible fashion. If I remove the item that I want, that's number one. Number two, I do it by hand. And number three, I do it for immediate use. So now what we're saying is, on Shabbos, the definition of immediate use for your meal is before your meal. It's not at the last opportunity that you perceive you have. So I said, in other words, I want to, like Steve's example, I want to get everything ready before I go to shul. So I'm saying, okay, so for me, this is like right before the meal, because by the time I come home from shul, we're ready to go into the meal. Shlomo Zalman says, that does not work. That does not work. Miyat means literally before the meal itself. That's number eight. No, because he's saying the definition of lifnei suuda means lifnei suuda, not la'achar zman. It's the same thing. Same thing. Right. The amount of time it takes you to prepare for the meal before the meal. You make time. That's his point. That's not true. You're creating a reality because you're saying you don't have time. You do have time. You do have time. You do have time. No, that's exactly the point. It's not a contradiction. He's backing up the same idea. But here he's saying explicitly, that there's no such thing as saying that for me, miyad, in other words, there is no possibility of miyad not being immediately before the suda. The only thing that miyad allows you to do is to create as large of a window as you need before this su'uda to prepare, but the window must be always juxtaposed to the meal itself. There can never be a gap in between prep and the meal and still satisfy the criteria of miyad. That's his idea.
Is it just the amount of time it takes to do the borer that you're...
It's the amount of time it takes to get ready for the meal. Because the act of borer, we're calling it not borer, the unborer act is considered to be a part of meal preparation. It's not a standalone act, so that could be done whatever is within the window of meal preparation, right? So let's say, this is actually an important point, right? The act of borer itself may take 30 seconds. Right? But yet again, getting the table ready, getting the meal ready, making the salad, right? Doing everything I normally do before the meal takes an hour. I'm just using examples, right? Takes an hour. So then the halacha would be, for bora purposes, you satisfy miyad as long as you're doing it within an hour before the meal. What number eight is introducing over here is there's no such thing as immediacy, there's no such thing as miyad if your prep is not juxtaposed to the meal. So if there's a gap, ultimately, again, between your prep and the meal, then you have lost out on the criteria of miyad. Even though, again, from my perspective, I think this is Reb Steve's point, from my perspective, it is miyad because I want to come home and eat lunch. Right? So for me, this is miyad, but the halacha says, no, that is incorrect.
Lamaisa, this could only be, let's say, 5% of your meal prep. You could do 95% that doesn't involve over.
Yeah. Yeah, again, everything depends. It depends what you're involved. It depends, you know, a person's making salad or things like that. It could be much. Correct.
Everything that doesn't involve over.
No, correct. Right. Just to be clear, right. That's why I said this is not a preparation issue. This is a borer issue. Right. So in other words, if you don't have any borer problems in your house on Shabbos, right, you can set your table whenever you want. You could prep anything whenever you want. We're talking about over here where my prep involves borer. So that could only be done with immediacy before the meal. But the chiddush is that immediacy is the amount of time it takes to prepare the meal. That's it. Good. So Rav says, take a look at number 9. So let's see some examples. I mean, we've already seen some examples, but let's see some more examples of this. Some interesting cases. You actually skipped to source number 10. So Shmuel Shabbos Hillel writes as follows. He says, so remember, it's also important to point out, and we'll see this in a little bit more, that halacha l'maisa, remember, borer, as much as the paradigmatic example of borer, is in a food-based case, right? That's how it was done for the Mishkan with grain, with the chaff and the grain. But of course, remember, again, that's not the only case of borer. So borer applies to really any kind of mixture of items, which we'll discuss. So in number 10, Shmuel Shabbos Hillel also brings out an interesting case. He says, Harotza lahotzi beged mi bein bigodov, al yasekein ela samoch lelevishasa. So we'll say, listen to this. So let's say you have your clothing together in a drawer. Now, again, this is going to border on a little bit our next topic, which is what is the definition of a mixture? So we'll have to talk about that. But lamaisa, let's say again, I have all of my clothing in a drawer. I will say, you know, the truth is the contemporary example that's brought by the poskim is like baby clothing, right? Baby clothing, where let's say you could have like a whole bunch of onesies or different things all together. So ultimately, again, now I want to pull out one thing that I'm going to wear. Obviously, I'm not throwing out the stuff I don't want. Good. We'll see him here. Again, that's going to get more into the definition of what a mixture is. So now his example over here is with clothing. So I have a drawer full with clothing. So I only want one item. Right? So now again, I will say, so remember again, if I start taking out the stuff that I don't want, then that's real boner. That's real boner. So obviously now I want to go ahead and take out the item that I want. Right? So that's going to be sort of thing like ochal toch psolas, but it has to be miyad. So therefore he says something very interesting. He says, make sure not to take out the item you want, except immediately before getting dressed. He says, "Ubimiyuchad." I would say, I'll tell you where I think this could actually come up. Socks, right? This is like a good sock case, right? Here's what's interesting also, by the way, right? So in other words, it's Shabbos night. I want to capitalize on my Shabbos morning shluff. So I figure, you know what? I am going to pick out my socks before this also presupposes that you change your socks from Shabbos night to Shabbos morning, which again, I don't want to pass judgment, right? So Lamaisa, I don't know, maybe like Shana Rishona or something. I don't know, whatever it is, right? So now Shabbos night, I want to pick out my socks. So here Shmuel Shabbos Hillel says, don't do that. Wait until the next morning. He says, ultimately, again, because the problem is, that's an act of separating. Now again, remember, you're taking what you want, right? But remember, you still need the other two criteria. You're taking what you want, ochel mitoch psolas, you're doing it with your hand, but it needs miyad. So immediacy, and immediacy means before you get dressed. Oh, so good. So correct. So a lot of these things are going to depend on what we consider to be a mixture. Right. So correct. So I think socks are a good example because I think a lot of times, like in a drawer, you just have like a drawer full of socks. Right. So now literally I have to like look through what I want. Let's assume for a moment that that's a mixture right now. He says, "B'miyuchad yakpid shelo livra balayla as bigdei hayiladim letzorech his laf som be'emtza halayla or letzorech levishasam aboker." He says, children's clothing. So this comes up off with children's clothing. Because children's clothing is smaller, right? It's often piled together. So therefore, again, a person shouldn't take out children's clothing, assuming that, again, it's in a mixture. One should not take it out earlier than one needs it. Otherwise, one is not adhering to the criteria of miyad. All right, very interesting. Good. He gives an example over here. B'shem Ragon Shalvazon. Arbach Satzal, Tagam Asra Livra Big Day Yolodim in Bedaito Lotzeis Minabayis. Right? Let's say again, the next day I'm going out for lunch with my kids, and I want to take some clothing with me. You can't prepare that the night before because you're missing the miyad. Okay, just an interesting example. Take a look at number 11. Again, Rav Shlomo Zalman over here in the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo. He says, "V'nira lani as daiti, dikimo shemutar livrar letzorech su'uda shel mea ish, af shetchilas habrira hi vaday b'shvil la'achar zman, v'gam mutar livrar letzorech su'uda shel kama monos, af shamona achrona tolcha rak la'achar zman, v'hainu mipnei shekachu derech achila." So this is what I mentioned before. Shlomo Zalman says, when we talk about the window for prep for the meal, that's for the entire meal. for the entire meal. So for example, if I was prepping now for Shabbos dinner, well, there's going to be an appetizer and a main and dessert. So I don't have to look at, well, how much time does it take to prep for the main and for the appetizer and the main and dessert is separate. No, we look at the meal as all of the courses. As all of the courses together, that creates your window of miyad. He goes on, he says, "Vegam motro livror, l'tzarach sudish shal kama manos." Good, skip a little bit. V'haino mipnei shekachu derech achila. Hu adin, betaf shil asher l'tzorech shipor atam, regilim tamed lahachin, ulatakein olishros esamach alazeh, gimel odalet shal sefnei suda. So Rabbi said, this is actually an interesting one. Let's say you have a dessert. This is actually very shach. I don't know a good example of this, but let's say you have a dessert, right? And the dessert is kept in the freezer. But you don't serve it frozen, right? Instead, what you do is you take it out of the freezer some amount of time before the meal so that it thaws out a little bit so that by the time you serve it, it's soft. That's called miyad also. In other words, that goes into the calculation of the window. So I don't know, let's say I'm serving mousse, right? So it's frozen and I want it to thaw out a little bit. So let's say for argument's sake, you know, the mousse needs 2 hours. It needs to be taken out 2 hours before the meal in order to thaw out. So that means now my pre-meal miyad window is 2 hours. Even though, by the way, the rest of the prep for all the other food items might be 15 minutes. But now, again, if whatever amount of time, essentially, right, the part of the meal which requires the longest prep window, that's the item which creates the miyad window for the entire meal. And again, I will say, remember again, all this is focusing on over here is how far in advance of my meal can I do an act of boder? Can I do an act of separation? That's what we're focusing on over here. So now, if I'm taking out the mousse, yes.
So, the mousse example, so it's going to take 2 hours for that to frost. Does that mean that I take out the mousse, I can do all my other boder-like items, and then it'll be an hour and a half all the way for that to frost? It's still considered...
Yep, yeah. Correct. Correct. In other words, once I have that item that requires 2 hours of pre-meal prep, that creates the window for everything else. Very interesting halacha. Rishon Zalman gives other examples of this, by the way. He also gives other examples of this. Let's say, again, I have a challah that I want to use for the meal, and the challah is frozen. The challah is frozen. So now I need to take that out of the freezer. Right now he's dealing with a case over here where there's like, oh, his case over here is where the challah is in the freezer mixed together with a whole bunch of other stuff. So actually, the taking out of the challah itself is the act of borer. Is the act of borer. So again, let's say I need to take out the challah 3 hours before the meal for it to defrost. That means now my miyad window is 3 hours before the meal. So that's the novelty of the Rav Shlomo Zalman. Again, I will say, just to be clear, remember, the window only applies for the act of boder. As Rebelli mentioned before, for everything else in your meal, you could prepare whenever you want. This is not a preparation issue. This is a boder issue, because boder could only be done miyad, and now we're seeing the definition of miyad, an expanded definition of miyad, that since the act of boder that you're doing is part of preparation for a meal, so the window of miyad is defined by the item of the meal which has the longest preparation window. Grau, yes?
So you could start preparing for your meal before Shacharis.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, I don't have to be sitting there working for 2 hours in order for the window to be the window. It just has to be that I needed to start the preparation in some way, shape, or form X amount of time before. And yeah, so Steve, that could be the Eitzah. That's actually an interesting idea. Maybe that's the Eitzah. Dafka, if you need... I'm sorry? No, I'm not saying... I don't know that that's... But that might be an interesting idea. In other words, that if I'm in a situation where I need to prep before shul and I want to be able to eat right when I come home from shul, but I want to be able... I'm sorry? Right. So, but I want to be able to do whatever borer acts I need before I go to shul. And Achinami, that could do it. Make sure to have a meal. And I think you're even allowed to. I don't think it's a problem to proactively structure it like this either. So make sure you're serving mousse for that dessert, or make sure you have frozen challah for that dessert. I think you can do it lechatchila. I don't know why it would be a problem to dafka, like, structure your menu that way. Yes, Matt.
How much do you charge to be a personal coach to come up on the Shabbos and watch everything we do, tie it all together, make sure we're not violating Shabbos?
So you can get me on retainer. You can get me on retainer. I don't do hourly anymore. The truth is, you're going to see, by the way, once we get all the pieces in order, it all drops in the right way. The challenge right now we have is there's like a lot of open-ended pieces. Like, we don't even know for sure exactly, like, what mixtures are we talking about? Like, what is even a mixture in halacha? Like, because at this point, not even sure, like, I'm trying to think, like, on a Shabbos morning, like, do I have borer situations or I don't have borer situations? And so hold on, I promise it'll drop in a little bit.
I'm sorry, with all the other sections we've gone, yeah.
Yes, I offer halachic consulting services. Absolutely.
That's double rate.
That's hazard pay. Right? Okay. We'll have to see. We did muktzah and smichas chavr also. So we'll have, muktzah was a great, great sugya.
Yeah, dogs can tell when somebody doesn't really like them.
Really? So can people. Yeah. So let's go back to a little bit. So good. So that's number 11. So just some interesting practical examples over here. Take a look at number 12. So just another example of this, which I think is incredibly interesting. So again, the Archos Shabbos writes as follows. He says, Habalachamim Tavshil Verotza Lahanicho Agabe Mecham Hamayim. So again, it's pretty much the same type of case. I want to warm up food. So what's this? I'll give you a good example of this, right? I have meat in a gravy. Now, again, what I'd like to actually do next, I want to go a little bit out of order. Next, I think I want to do Bishul, because I think it'll be really good if we do Bishul. It'll be a lot of fun. So Bishul 101 is you can't reheat on Shabbos liquids that have cooled down. Whether they were cooked, weren't cooked, it doesn't make a difference, right? You can't. So now, this comes up all the time. Shabbos night, I had a delicious meat and gravy. Shabbos day comes, and I want to have the meat, right? But obviously, I can't reheat the meat with the gravy. But just to clear, this doesn't matter, a blech, not a blech on top of the crock pot. You can't reheat liquids, right? To the point that they get warm. So, but what I can do... I'm sorry? Right, you call it right. Sfardim might be a little bit different. I will get to that in Eretz Hashem. But what you can do is you can take the meat out of the gravy and reheat the meat. So you just give an example over here. So I can take the meat out of the gravy. Now again, there's some interesting also discussions in this about like how gravy free does the meat have to be. We're not going to get into that right now. He says, Imatav shil azem urav berotav. He goes on, Yeshe tiru liver asa ocha mitoch harotav, amanas lechamimo, v'tama mishum shederach b'nei adam lechamim asa ma'acholim b'samoch la'achila, v'lakach hachimu mechshav chilek me'achana l'suda, v'hari zeh kiborer la'altar. So here's a good example. Right? So I want to take the meat out of the gravy. Now, taking the meat out of the gravy is an act of borer. It's an act of separation. We're assuming now that meat and gravy are a mixture. Especially, if the gravy is congealed, that's even a more compelling argument because then you really have like two solids that are actively mixed with each other. So again, I want to be able to take the meat out of the gravy, but I don't want to get into a borer situation. So now I want to take it out, but I want to warm it up. So once again, what's considered to be miyad for that? Let's say for argument's sake, it takes 20 minutes. I want to put the meat on top of my crock pot, or on top of my urn, or on an overturned pan on my blech, whatever permissible ways there is. Let's say it takes 20 minutes to reheat a piece of meat, so I'm allowed to go ahead and fish out that piece of meat from the gravy 20 minutes before my meal. Just another illustration. Say that once more. Better not to use it. Yeah. Give it to Zoe after Shabbos. right. Better not to use it. Yeah, we'll talk about that again. We'll talk about that because that truth is cases like that actually come up, I don't want to say all the time, but not infrequently. Where a person does something by accident in the kitchen, and now again, I've done so. Am I permitted to benefit? Not permitted to benefit. We'll come to that. So gemir Hashem. Okay, Shabbos says. So now that's pretty much satisfies our miyad. So we've gotten. So remember again. So now we're working our way down, right? So we have biyad. I know that I have to remove the item that I want with my hand. Ochel mitoch psolus, I have to take the item that I want and not the item that I don't want. And now miyad has to be for immediate use, but now we've seen an expanded definition of what immediacy means. So we'll say, so now we come to what is, not the, I mean, they're all important, but we have to really hone in a little bit more on to what is the definition of a mixture. So what is a mixture? Because so first of all, if you take a look, you don't have it on your sheet, but I'll just quote it to you. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Actually, let's skip the Shulchan Aruch for now. Let's just focus on what is the definition of a mixture. So both say, see here, it's very interesting to see sometimes in halacha, where you see halacha struggle to find an exact definition. And it's a very frustrating experience. And the reason because is halacha is all about exact definitions. That's what it's all about. But yeah, you do find some areas in halacha where it's hard to pin down exactly what the definition is. So it's interesting that when it comes to this discussion about mixtures, it's kind of one of those scenarios. So take a look at number 14. The Aruch HaShulchan writes as follows. He says, Uchuvas davar. So he's addressing what is a mixture. What is a mixture? He says, Uchuvas davar zeh, mishnei parnim. Ha'echad, tibidavar hanikar harbe la'ayin haroa, lo shayich lomar bazeh breira, she'in zeh breira elinatila ba'alma. He says what the Shulchan Aruch says. Aruch HaShulchan. Hashem says, the definition of a mixture means definition of a mixture is any combination of items where no one item is clearly discernible. You hear this? So the Aruch HaShulchan says is if you have a bunch of stuff that's together, but each item is clearly discernible on its own, that's not a mixture. That's not a mixture. His whole chap is that a mixture. Again, I will say, that's what I'm saying. Where does he get this definition from? See, it's coming that when we think about a mixture, a taroves, a mixture means there's almost like an intermingling, an identity intermingling, to the point that when I look at it, it's kind of hard to see. So you know what a good example of this is? You know a good example of it? What's a good example of like a mixture?
Salad.
Although salad isn't always the best because salad often you have different colors, right? I think like a stew. Or if you're Hungarian, like a goulash, right? Where you have like a lot of different stuff mixed in, just a stew, right? A potato, a piece of meat, the gravy, the this, that, the junk. So it's not exactly clear what's what.
It's clear, but it's covered by gravy.
Okay, but still, in other words, the point is, when I look at it,
but when you're scooping it up, as you're scooping things out, so then you're taking.
Correct, but I'm saying, but what Aruch HaShulchan says is, when you look at it, can you positively identify what everything is? If the answer to that is yes, he says it's not a mixture.
So then the socks in the drawer, he would hold, is not a problem. Unless they're all the same color,
right.
Then the socks are all discernible.
That is correct. So again, I was operating as a person who has not bought into the colored socks fad, right? In my drawer, there are only black socks, right? So now, but there are different types of black socks. There are different black socks for different occasions. You know, it's not so again, that now, which also gets into the discussion of, are different types of the same thing considered to be a mixture? We'll get to this also. Like, in all kidding aside, if I have, you know, gold toe socks and regular socks, but they're all black socks, is that it? So we'll come to that in just a second. But over here, I just want to highlight to you what I think is just a very important definition. That the concept, ultimately, again, of a taroves, of a mixture, means something where items, independent items are mixed together, and when they are mixed, when they are combined, you can't clearly discern what is what. So we'll say, so that's very important. And according to the Aruch HaShulchan, we're going to see, the Aruch HaShulchan probably has one of the, we'll call it, I'll use this term, like the strictest definition of mixture. In other words, that according to the Aruch HaShulchan, it's really difficult. In other words, you really need items to be commingled in order for there to be a mixture. Right, that's the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShabbos, in number 15. Again, we'll say, so if you look at the Lashon over here, it's very interesting. It says, V'kasha litein kitzva. It's very hard to give a measurement, right? It's very hard to give like a threshold. What's the definition of a mixture? B'davar ma'nechshav mu'urav u'ma'nechshav meruchak zeh mizeh. It's interesting. We'll say, that's what I'm saying. You hear the struggle. It's hard to give an actual definition. what is considered to be mixed with each other. Vakol lefi ra'os ha'ayin. He says, it's incredible. It's subjective. It's subjective. You know, everything is based on, like, literally, again, how you see it. Upamim shapritim ashonim chalukim zemizeh. Kitzurasam obigidulam, bitzurasam obigidulam, vechiluk zagorim laam shaloi chashu me'uravim. So sometimes you could have items, you could have items that ultimately, again, might even be the same type of item, but because of their shape, or because of their cut, right, or because of their size, they could be considered to be separate and distinct items. I'm sorry, they are not a mixture. Okay, so we'll see. We'll give examples. We'll give examples to fit. But here's what I just want to point out to you is here you have the Archos Shabbos saying everything really, it's a subjective call. What's a mixture? What's not a mixture? So again, you have the Aruch HaShulchan. HaShulchan really is giving an objective definition. What he's saying is that halacha lemaisa, if you can discern the items, then it's not a mixture. If you can't easily discern the items, then it is a mixture. Aruch HaShabbos, a bit more amorphous and ambiguous. Now, listen, now here's what's interesting, by the way, just as an aside, it would seem to be that we run into a borer situation pretty frequently and pretty easily at every Shabbos. Take a look at number 16. He says, so the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. He says, Asra liklov shumim ubitzalim kishakolif lahaniach avalechol alter shari. So Rabbi says, this is very interesting. So he says over here, you're not allowed peeling, right? So I'll say, so now, here's what I want to point out to you. The whole definition of a mixture, so we see over here, is complicated. It's complicated. If we go with the Aruch HaShulchan's idea, and again, we're not yet finished. We're not yet finished. Because I will say, I just want to show you something, for example, is if you have cutlery, right? So let's say again, Shabbos night they had the Suda, and cleaning the cutlery, cleaning the flatware, and now on my kitchen counter, I have a pile of cutlery. Is that a mixture? What would you say? Is it a mixture? A pile. It's a pile. Why no?
Because you can see what each thing is.
Right. So on one hand, when you look at it, you really can see what's a fork and what's a knife and what's a spoon. Right? So on one hand, if you're like looking at the Aruch HaShulchan's definition, it would appear that that's not a mixture. It would appear. But when you look at the Aruch HaShabbos, if you ask people, like they ask the common person, what is that? What is the person going to say? Right, it's a mixture. Right, it's silverware. They're not going to say it's for. It's a mixture of silverware. So I'm just pointing out how like these different definitions are going to have a dramatic impact as we go forward. And again, we'll have to set up, plug them into different examples. Yes.
I think I recall in Sefer Sefer you had an Eitzah about, let's say, dropping the silverware.
Good. We're going to talk about that, right? But even that, what that's doing is that's just right. That's diffusing the problem, right? So in other words. Correct. The Shaila just is according to the correct. The Shaila is according to the Aruch HaShulchan. Like, would that even be necessary? Or maybe I could just go out and say, look, I see that that's a fork, right? I see it's a fork, so let me just take the fork. All right, so we'll just keep it in the back of your mind. I want it, yes?
Is Borer one of the few outlets that are completely subjective, so that what would be Borer for me is not necessarily Borer for you?
So.
I don't care if I use a big fork or a small fork. I just want to get food in my mouth.
That's beautiful. It's inspiring. It's inspiring. I remember now why the shiur was never ever interactive before. Now it's all going back to me. Chaim Spiro. Oh, yeah. Good. So here's what I'll tell you. The answer is yes, but not for that reason. The answer is going to be yes. Bor is by definition subjective because remember, Borer is ochel mitoch psoles. What's ochel? What's psoles? So in the same mixture, and we'll talk about this more next week. In the same salad, I like cucumbers. You don't like cucumbers.
That's right.
Is that?
Most vegetables you can say.
I had a strong hunch about that. So perfect example. So for you, the cucumber is going to be psoles. Right. For me, it's ochel. So the answer is yes. The subjectivity is going to come much more in that area. And much less in like a mixture or not. a mixture, the mixture is going to be much more, the difficulty in the mixture is just like latching on to a definition of a mixture. That's going to be where the subject, that's going to be the, so I would say, when it comes to mixtures, there's not subjectivity, there's a little bit of halachic definitional ambiguity. When it comes to ochel and psoles, definitely going to be subjectivity. We'll come to that in a minute. I think we'll get to that next week. So let me show you just one last case for tonight. So the last case that the Shulchan Aruch talks about is, what about peeling vegetables in general? Suppose I say, now watch this. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you can't peel garlic or onions for use later on. For use later on. So this is actually very interesting. So what it's saying is, or a cucumber for that matter, that's the garlic and onions. You can't peel a vegetable for use later on. Now, what's the inference from that? What can you infer from that statement? That you can do it for now. But I will say, what's the problem? So, okay, so let's assume right now that I'm not using a peeler. Let's assume right now, or maybe a peeler is just considered to be a fancy knife. So let's assume for a moment, let's keep it easy. I'm using a knife. So therefore, again, it's considered to be biad, right? Is this not a paradigmatic case of removing the psoles from the ochel? I'm removing the peel, ultimately, again, from the item. So I will say again, so remember, Borer 101 is that the only way to do this in a non-prohibited way is to remove ochel from psoles. Here, I'm removing psoles from ochel. So what's the pshat? So if you take a look at number 17, and this is very important, the Be'er Halacha writes in number 17, he says, well, the Chorah yish the daktik, the Chavim the Kolif Bechla Borahu, Lissra filu le'achol la'altar. So again, the Shulchan Aruch makes it sound like the problem with peeling an onion or peeling garlic is if you're going to leave it for later use, because then you're in violation of miyad. But it sounds like if you're doing it for now, it's fine. But why should it be fine even for now? That's psoles from ochel. You're removing the thing you don't want from the thing you do want. And he writes something very interesting. He says, "Daha misha kolif tapuchim v'shumim ubitzalim v'nota psoles umochel la'ochel kvar nispar le'abisim nishniyot es the psoles idoch ochel afil la'alter chayiv." Jose, I want to peel an apple on Shabbos. So again, so it sounds like based on here, as long as I'm peeling the apple and I'm eating it now, it's fine. But why? That's from ochel. Why should that be permitted? And this is very important. He says, "Venira, dechevan di efshar be'enyan acher, v'derech achiloso bekach lo mikri psoles mitoch ochel." So Rabbi says, so the Be'er Halacha essentially says this is called derech achila. Anytime you're removing a peel and that's the normal way to eat the item, that's not called borer. What is it called? It's called eating. And by definition, anything that is a normative act of eating, by definition, is not borer. So this is actually very important. Now, the truth is, it happens to be, there's another reason usually why peeling is not problematic either, which we'll get to Meretz Hashem next week, Shir, a little bit more. He goes on, he says, So here's what's interesting, right? So in other words, this svara only works to remove the peel, and removing the peel is called eating and not borer, as long as you're eating it right now. Right? If you're peeling something for later use, then I will say what? Then the act of peeling takes on the appearance of what? Or not takes on the appearance, takes on the identity of borer. So if you're peeling to eat now, that's called derech achila, and that's fine, that's consumption. But if you're peeling to eat later, that's called borer, and that's going to be problematic. And again, he says over here, so very interesting. Number 18, with this, we'll stop for tonight. He says, "Ein bo mishum, ein mishum eser breira, ela, im ken yesh shnei minim meuravim ze ba ze, o munachim krovim ze la ze lilo seder." So I'll say, so now again, so we're also going to see, by the way, the other reason why peeling is also considered to be mutter, we'll see this more next week, Shir, is because whenever you peel something, by definition, what else are you removing? You're always removing some of the ochel along with it, right? Never are you just peeling the psoles off. So that's another reason why it's going to be permitted. One more definitional piece, number 18, Shemir Shabbos writes, and this is very important. We'll say, now another definition of a mixture. Shemir Shabbos says, there's only borer if you have two items, shnei minim, by the way, it's a minimum of two items. Obviously, you can't have a mixture with less than two items. Mu'uravim zebazeh, that are mixed together. O munachim krovim ze laze lilo seder. A mixture says Shemir Shabbos Kelchusa means items mixed together without an order. Lo seder. Avalim kol min v'min munach b'fnei atzmo ein basars echa mehem mishum iser breira Umutra little izim shirts. Well, so let me go back to the silver example just a moment. Let's say Shabbos night, you're washing your dishes, you're washing your flatware, and what do? Right? I put all the forks right on the on their sides, like they're all like, you know what I'm talking about? You know next to each other, right? The forks, right? And then I do the same thing with the spoons. And everything is right next to each other. So I will say, so Shmuel Shabbos also says, that's not a mixture. That's not a mixture. A mixture, by definition, requires a lack of order. If it's orderly, then by definition, it is not a mixture. So it's just interesting. So I will say, so what it comes out of here, we'll stop here for tonight. What it comes out ultimately is, again, we kind of have like three different definitions of a mixture. And they're not mutually exclusive. Derech HaShulchan. Derech HaShulchan ultimately, again, has to mixture as any items that are literally, again, commingled, and no one item is fully recognizable by itself. Archos Shabbos, it's really just based on what people call a mixture. And Shmir Shabbos Kilchos are items commingled with a random order, without any type of seder. Again, so it's double for tonight. Tomorrow, next week, we're going to get into some really exciting, because we'll get into the examples. Right, and also once we get into the examples, we'll see how the different definitions fit in, and we'll begin to see nafka minus in different definitions as well. A great zuchos parshas to be back learning with everyone. Amud Yomi begins in 3 minutes. Amir Sashan.